Well, I went to aerobics class, and I bent and twisted and gyrated and jumped, and by the time the hour was over, by the time I got done, the class was done, I finally had my leotard on. I found my glasses, by the way. It's going to get better from here. Look at this one. I wrote a letter to my diet. Here it is. Things are not going to work out between us. It's not me, it's you. You're boring, tasteless, and I can't stop cheating on you. Here's one more. This is day one of my diet. I have removed all the bad food from my house. It was delicious. Like I said, I hate a diet. What would be worse than my diet failings? And what would be so bad that would even be worse than that is if I had no appetite. Because appetite is one of the signs of health. People in the last decade of their lives have to be especially careful about their diet, about their appetite, and what they drink. Because as we get older, especially in the last decade of our lives, we tend to lose our appetite. And that's a dangerous thing for an older person. And those of you who are younger, you've never experienced that, but you also begin to lose your desire to drink, to take in liquids. And this also is dangerous because dehydration is a dangerous condition that marks the very ill, especially the elderly. So I come this morning to tell you that Jesus has advice about our spiritual dieting. Here's what he said, and I'm paraphrasing. Happy are those who have an appetite for righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. And when Satan tried to tempt Jesus with bread after a severe fast, Jesus said that his food that he considered important was far more appealing to him. Because here's what Jesus said to Satan. My food is to do the will of the Father. And that he considered that to be his meal. He was referring to spiritual food, not physical food. Physical food does not feed our spirits. It obviously feeds our bodies. Food that promotes our spiritual health is called righteousness. Fruits and vegetables are healthy foods for the body, but righteousness is health food for my immaterial person, the real me. I don't know if you've considered it much, but your body is very temporary, but your spirit is forever. And it's so important to feed your spirit, so much more important. And that's what Jesus was stressing. Now, in order to understand Jesus' statement, it's important to contrast what fake righteousness is. Fake righteousness is keeping a list of do's and don'ts and assuming that that makes you a good person in the eyes of God. You don't go places you shouldn't go, and you don't say things you shouldn't say, and you do things that you think you ought to do. And keeping a to-do list, whether it's do's or don'ts, will not make you righteous. You may be righteous in your own eyes, but it will not make you righteous indeed. Perpetual happiness, happiness that goes on and on and on, is reserved for those who hunger and thirst to be like Jesus, for indeed they will be like him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this, training your body gives some results, but godliness, that is righteousness, benefits all things, giving results for life here and now and for the life that is coming. Now, the Beatitudes are autobiographical statements that Jesus made about himself that bears our human experiences. Righteousness is not that list of do's and don'ts that so many churches try to get you to do. You know, how many services you go a week and how much you give in the offering plate. And things that you say that are niceties, none of those things will make you righteous. They may be important to the Lord, but they won't make you righteous. Because righteousness is not what we do. Righteousness is who Jesus is. The day is coming when we are going to be given a new body that is not burdened down with the old nature that we now have. And we will be given a body that is likened to his own perfect body, that does not want to sin, and in fact is not able to sin. Can you imagine having a body, a life, a spiritual life, that cannot sin? But that's what's going to happen with us. And we are going to be free from sin, and we're going to be free to be Christ-like. And so happy are we who want to be shed of our old nature. This is getting to the heart of what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The day is coming when you are going to be filled with righteousness. We know something of it now, for the Lord lives in us. But happy are we who want to be like Jesus. I want to give you three ways to diagnose your spiritual health when it comes to righteousness. And there are three conditions. Condition number one that I talk about is there are people who have food, but they have no appetite. And there are many of these people. This is the presentation of atheism, for instance. There are people who have food all around them. God's food, righteousness, the Word of God, the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They have food all around them, but they have no appetite to eat it. David told us what that's like in Psalm 14. Here's what it says. Read with me, will you? "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, what does an atheist say? Now, I'm not calling them fools, but the Bible is very blunt here. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Go on. "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are..." Understand, who seek God. In other words, who seek righteousness. Have you heard it said, "We are what we eat"? Anybody ever heard that before? You are what you eat. And that's true to a great degree. And it's even more true in the spiritual life, because we are what we choose to love. What we choose to love determines how spiritual we are and how much like Jesus we are. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous by faith will live." This begins to shed light on that important prophecy and promise that Jesus declared. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, who hunger and thirst after a person and what he has and what he is. For indeed, they will be filled. This beatitude is about hope. The future condition of our spiritual health. Matthew chapter 5, 6 again says, "Blessed are those who are hungry." Now think about yourself. How hungry are you? The atheist has no appetite for God. And that person has no future of happiness either. He will be eternally empty, not filled. Then there's a second report of spiritual health, and this one is appetite but no food. There are people who have food but no appetite. They are the atheist. And then there are people who have an appetite but they don't have food. I don't know if you're aware of the plight of people in Haiti. If you would talk to Martha, she could tell you. She's been to Haiti a few times. In Haiti, you can't imagine the poverty. It's beyond imagination. You have to be there and see it. People actually eat dirt cakes in Haiti in order to ease the pain of their starvation. They mix dirt with water and they bake it in order to kill off all the bad stuff in the dirt. And then they feed it to their children before school. It's not food. You couldn't call it food because it has no nutritional value. You see, those children have appetites, but no food. They're hungry. They want to eat. They do eat, but they don't get food. I would offer this commentary. Shame on those who have collected millions of dollars from Americans for Haitian kids who never received one calorie from that money. It's pitiful. Atheists have no appetite, but many do want to be righteous. But they have no nutritional sustenance, no true food. Jesus is the only spiritual nutrition that can maintain spiritual health. You will not receive any spiritual nutrition anywhere else than from the Lord Jesus, because He is righteousness. This is why we eat the Lord's body at communion time. And we do that symbolically. And in 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to do that again here. And I hope you're here. And that's why we take the blood in the cup that we drink of Jesus' blood symbolically. He alone is our righteousness. There is no other righteousness. The other so-called spiritual food is just junk food. It feeds the empty soul with religiosity. It's like a mud cake. It offers religious people a list of do's and don'ts, but no hope, little love, little faith, and a joyless, empty, dry life. Spiritual junk food is described in the book of Isaiah. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 59, and maybe you'll read it with me. Their feet run to do evil, and they rush to commit murder. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. You might say, well, I never committed murder. Many people have committed murder, and they don't realize they have. The heart condition of murder is the will and the wish to eliminate somebody. You know, you can eliminate someone physically with a bullet, but you can eliminate someone from the church family. You can eliminate someone from your social circle. Jesus explained that this inclination, this intention, this attitude as murder. Isaiah goes on to say, they think only about sinning. Misery and destruction always follow them. You hang out with these people, you're going to experience their destruction. I become painfully aware of people who have severe drug problems. If you hang out with druggies, you know what happens? It's very likely you're going to be a druggie. And it gets you, and it kills you, and it destroys you. And it not only destroys you, it'll destroy your family too. Isaiah goes on to say, they don't know where to find peace. Everybody's looking for peace. And they don't know what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads for themselves. And no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. The people in my family who have drug problems, I know that they'll be okay after they've dried out for a while, but they're just about to fall in the pit again when they get with their old friends. Is it possible that Christians live unrighteous, ungodly life? Can you be a believer on your way to heaven and still be an ungodly person in your practice? Well, of course we can. Unhealthy and malnourished. Some of us live in a practical atheism. We don't think about God all week. We don't pick up His word. We don't eat the blood and body of the Lord in His word. We don't even think much about the Lord all week long. That's a practical atheism. And it too will give malnourished conditions. These people feed on junk food of the flesh nature and the garbage bins of the world. They love the immediate sweet rush that comes, but live mostly in the after crash, fat and dirty. I say to you, my dear friends, get a bath. Start over. Feed on Jesus and the Word. The successful Christian life is a series of start overs. You might think that there are some super saints around and that you look up to them. There aren't. There are no super saints. There's one. His name is Righteousness, the Lord Jesus. I want to encourage you by telling you that the successful Christian life is the Christian life that knows how to start over again. You fall down, you get up, you tell God what happened. You take a bath by confessing your sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of every sin. I don't care how heinous it is. And then you start over. I've started over more times than anyone can count. That's the way we proceed in the Christian life. And then we get new days. New because there is the third spiritual condition of health. And I want to tell you what that is. And that is, you can get real food. The real food is Jesus, who is righteous. This is God's diet for a starving mankind. We have no food of righteousness of our own. We can't make ourselves righteous. Many people are working hard at that, by the way. Around the globe right now, there are people sitting in church buildings all around the world who are there hoping that they can make themselves righteous. And there are people who are feeding them junk food about that. There's only one who is righteous, and He alone can make us righteous. Only the man Christ Jesus can make us righteous, because we have no righteousness. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. What's the requirement to become righteous? Jesus comes into your life. And that is how you become righteous in the eyes of God. You don't become righteous by offering God good works. He's not satisfied with that. We've already blown it. And He only accepts perfection. I can't make myself righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, There is none righteous. So furthermore, I can't do it myself. Jesus alone can do it. What does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous means to be right with God. Now, you can't be right with God on your own by your works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saves us. You can be declared righteous by God by someone taking all of your sin, your sin debt, and praying and paying that debt for you. Because, my friends, Jesus died in your place to satisfy God's righteous demand or payment for your sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, having been justified, in other words, declared righteous, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how is it that we have peace with God? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the only means of righteousness. Would you like to become righteous in God's eyes today? When you become righteous in the eyes of God, we call that being saved. Jesus called it being born again. And Jesus will become your righteousness and stand in your place before Almighty God, if you'll put your faith in Him. If you'll stop trying to outdo God in righteousness, because you're not going to win that battle. You're not going to win that race. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world of people, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, whose name is righteousness, that whosoever believes in Him, that's all, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you're here this morning and you don't have eternal life because you've never been born again, you've not been saved, you've not gone before God with faith alone in Christ alone, but you've been thinking that if you just be a good person, you'll be it there because you're just as good as anybody else. Everybody else deserves hell, so you're going to go right in the same bucket if you believe that. I have a simple little prayer if you want to pray and be saved today. No one around you needs to know. But in your heart, you can pray to God. Say this, will you? Dear God, I am not righteous. I'm a sinner. But I believe that Jesus died in my place. Please give me the free gift of righteousness and eternal life. See how simple that is? And then you might pray, thank you for dying for me. Amen. Look how simple that is. My friends, if you pray that simple prayer or something like that, put your faith in Christ, Jesus presents His righteousness in your place before Almighty God. And then you are justified fully in God's court. Now, I want to say this, dear friends. Are you unhappy? You see, this whole series of promises and prophecies that are one sentence promises all begin with the word blessed. And the word blessed literally means happy. And many people here, I'm sure, are not experiencing happiness. Jesus promised and prophesied that you can be happy in spite of your circumstances or whatever might be going on in your life. And what I invite you to do this morning is try God's diet. I want to give you an illustration so you can easily grasp this. Imagine a little girl who suffered a rejection or a fall. She cries. You pick her up and you give her a hug and you invite her to ice cream at her favorite creamery. On the way, she begins to forget her misfortunes of what happened to her. She puts on a new mind. She thinks a new way. She thinks about something else. And she begins to anticipate the flavor of the ice cream she's about to experience. She remembers and imagines the taste of it. Her mouth begins to water, and she can feel the creamy texture of it even before she actually takes it. Her mouth begins to water, and she can feel the creamy texture, and she begins to be happy even though she has not yet put any ice cream in her mouth. It's the anticipation that predates the full blessing. This is what Jesus was talking about. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst to be like Jesus, because they will be filled. It's going to happen. You're just on the way to the ice cream store. You're just not there yet. This is why the wonderful Spirit of God told us about the mindset of Jesus when he was being tortured on the cross. You know, the book of Hebrews says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What was Jesus thinking about on the cross? Well, he's certainly thinking about how much he loved us. But like the little girl, Jesus overcame his current pain by living in the joy of the future of his mind. Who for the joy set before him, he looked beyond the torture. Who for the joy set before him, the circumstances that he was in right then, he looked beyond that with joy in his heart because he was thinking about something else that was happening that was true. He was thinking about one day he's going to be with all of us. And that gives him great joy. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As Jesus thought in the time of his hardship, so we must think in the time of our hardship, so that we can experience what it says in Matthew 5, 6. Happy are those who hunger and thirst. Can you taste it right now? Maybe you can't because you haven't thought about it. You don't contemplate it. You're not like the little girl who thought all the way to the ice cream store what it was going to be like. You already know how to practice this beatitude because I just explained in an illustration. And you know what that's like. When you decide to go on vacation, do you not pre-experience the joy of the trip? Do you not? How many of you have beach plans this year? A lot of hands, a lot of people. You've already been experiencing the sand. You've already experienced the restaurant you like to go to, and you've already experienced the rides. You've already experienced the things that you want to see and do. The joy of the place. Is there not joy in the very planning that generates anticipation? I tell you, I really believe, and some people say it cannot be true, but I really believe I enjoy the planning as much as the going. Because I'm experiencing it before I even go. The planning can be just as enjoyable as the trip itself. So I invite you, try this diet that I'm talking about. Try this diet that Jesus is offering in that little beatitude. Happy are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. More than ice cream is coming. More than an exotic vacation is coming. I invite you today to live in the anticipation of that joyous reality today. This is the meaning and this is the application of the Lord's fourth beatitude. You will not only anticipate, but you will be filled with the full reality of His life in you. And you can even know it today in anticipation. Your anticipation becomes your present reality. That's why Jesus said, "Happy are they." Even though His disciples lived in very difficult circumstances, they began to understand what Jesus was talking about. So I'm inviting you, my friends, to move from your circumstances and your pain, your difficulties, to a sure future. Not a future that might happen. No, the Bible calls where we're going a sure hope. It's just as good as us already being there. It's just as sure. Let this way of coping be your way of coping. From time to time, I sit and talk to people, cry with people sometimes who are having crushing experiences. Sometimes it's physical, medical. Sometimes it's a family problem. There are all kinds of problems, as you well know. The hope that I offer anyone who's in trouble is to stop living in your little myopic problem. I don't want to say that coldly. I don't want to say that dismissively. But the real answer is in this statement that Jesus made. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what I say to anyone who's hurting, and you can say this helping one another, because the Lord, you know, has called you to help others. Did you know that? The Lord has called you to help other people. And one of the ways you help other people when they're hurting is help them expand their vision. It's not always going to be like this. And what happens is when we get in trouble and we feel crushed, we just concentrate. We focus on it so much that it crushes us. The answer is to open up and see what tomorrow is, and the day after that, and the day after that. Because my present situation is going to get better, no matter what. You know what's the worst thing that can possibly happen to me? I'll be with Jesus. That's the worst thing that could happen to me. I didn't buy a ticket for the current train load. I don't want to go today. But I do know the worst thing that could happen to me is Wonderland. It's the worst thing that could happen. Now, I'm inviting you to take on that mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's stand and sing, "Fill My Cup, Lord." This is a prayer, and we're going to sing this as a prayer. "Fill My Cup, Lord." Right straight out of this very verse.
This world gave you leave hunger that won't pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you'll kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of
that to the Lord? Is that your prayer? I guarantee you, He will fill you up. You don't have to have a malnourished, empty life. Well, they say it's St. Patrick's Day. They made me go home, change my tie. So here I am all greened up. And I hope that you'll stay for our meal, because the group that's going to do mission work in Italy in June is supplying this meal for you. So please don't leave. I hope you stay and enjoy it with us. And if you'd like to make a donation, you may. It's not expected. So whoever would like to help us, that would be great. Lord, we pray right now as we get ready to take this meal together in fellowship with one another. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless this meal in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you're in the band, if we're starting a new band, Scott, raise your hand. Here's Scott. He has music for you to practice. And Scott will be back at the door.